Today is Friday, May the 17th, 1985. My name is Margaret Reed. I am interviewing Mrs. Millie McLeod at the AV Center at Morehead State University to discuss Campfire Incorporated. Thank you very much, Millie, for talking with me this morning. Let's begin our time together with a little biographical material of yourself. Could you tell me a little bit about you, where you were born and brought up and educated and something of that sort, and then kind of lead into how you became interested in Campfire Girl. Well, it was Campfire Girl some years ago.
Yes.
And that kind of thing. As I understand it, you're now a volunteer and you've been on the board of directors for a number of years, I imagine.
Yes, that's true. I grew up on a farm in North Dakota, about 100 miles north of here at a farm near Larimore, North Dakota. And I spent 3 of my college years at Concordia and Morehead. My other year, which was my junior year, I spent at Iowa State University at Ames, Iowa. When I was in college, my interests were primarily, I guess, physical education, which probably led into my interest at that time of Campfire, and also I had some interest in education, mm-hmm. and this too was an educational process, I guess, and Campfire Girls at that time, as our Girl Scouts and several youth organizations, always looking for volunteers, mm-hmm. and so my two of my 3 years at Concordia, I had groups of Campfire Girls, mm-hmm. and sort of started in the program then. Although after I graduated and went on to teaching and then was married, and I didn't get back into the program again until I had my own children. Mm-hmm. When we moved back to Morehead after having been in the metropolitan area of Minneapolis-St. Paul, where my oldest daughter at that point was a Girl Scout, we came back here to Morehead, and then Campfire Girls were very strong in mm-hmm. the community, and mm-hmm. she became interested in the Bluebird program, which at that time was the second and third grade group. Mm-hmm. And I was not a leader the first year, mm-hmm. but the second year I became an assistant leader, mm-hmm. and then went on to be a leader for both girls. Mm-hmm. Both Barbara and Mary, who were in the program. Mm-hmm. From that point, I guess I became more and more involved, first starting with the leader and then mm-hmm. becoming active in the Leaders Association, mm-hmm. and eventually a stint on the board of directors, mm-hmm. where I was vice president and president of the board. Mm-hmm. I served in the presidency from 1972 to 1974. Mm-hmm. And at that time, I was not a leader, just involved in the board of directors, and mm-hmm. also went on to serve on various zone committees, which mm-hmm. were a regional organization, and eventually was elected to the National Council, which was sort of like a board of directors, mm-hmm. but much larger than that. And I served on that board for 4 years, mm-hmm. and then we reorganized on a national level and did away with the National Council, mm-hmm. and did form a National Board of Directors. Mm-hmm. And then we had just a couple of people from each state that were mm-hmm. represented on that board, so mm-hmm. it became a much smaller group to work, much more easily to work mm-hmm. with.
Could you tell me a little bit about the history of the Campfire program? I know it's been in this country, is it an international program too?
Yes, Campfire is an international organization. It was founded in the United States, actually in Maine, in 1910 mm-hmm. by some people called the Gulicks, uh-huh. who were interested in children and knew that the Boy Scouts were an organization, but only for boys, mm-hmm. and they wanted something to that would be interesting for girls, and so they started what they called Campfire Girls. And it was called Campfire because it was primarily an outdoor program at mm-hmm. that, and they did a lot of camping and building mm-hmm. the campfires, and so it was aptly named that.
Was it related to Indian lore, too, or?
Well, they were very interested in the Indian culture, and so that became sort of a natural interest, I guess, to be incorporated. But it wasn't, that wasn't part of the real history. I mean, they didn't start it because of the Indians or anything, but they did incorporate that into the program, and, and particularly into the craft work and, and the beating of their headbands and so on. And then Campfire was started here in the Fargo-Moorhead area in 1918. It was primarily in Fargo at that time. And then in about 1942, I guess the people involved thought that maybe Fargo thought that Moorhead should be on their own. I'm not sure just what the reasoning was, but at any rate, their Moorhead did break from Fargo and started what they called the Clay County group. And Mrs. Hanny Wright from our area was one of the first people and involved in Moorhead, and she was instrumental in starting our group here in Clay County at that point. Some other names that were involved in that first organization was Mrs. Elda Gill, and she's just retired from our community, and she still has a daughter that lives here locally and is also very active in our program yet, and also her granddaughter.
She and was part of the paid staff, wasn't she, Millie? Or
yes, she was. She was a volunteer, though, first, and then later on became an assistant to the executive director, more like a program director.
Oh, yes.
And then our first executive director, I didn't know this lady, but it was Mrs. Edling, who was a relative of our businessman, Edling Electric.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And she was only executive for about a year or two. And then Elsa Ryerson was elected as the, well, I suppose not elected, but hired as the executive director. And she continued in the program until, oh, maybe only 5-6 years ago, and she is diseased now. But she was with the program for many, many years as executive director.
Now, do you have, what do you call your group, a council?
Yes, we're a we're incorporated as a council. And a few years ago, probably about 10 years ago, they expanded the Campfire program to include boys. And then we also changed our national organization to be called Campfire Incorporated.
I see.
Shortened to be Campfire Inc., I guess is what most of us know it as. But we now have several boys in our program locally. I think this came about primarily because of the larger cities in the core area. They really needed sort of a combined group of both boys and girls, and they weren't able to support just a boys' girl group or just a girls' group. And there was a definite need, and the program for Campfire has really expanded. And it has also expanded now to include, kindergarten students. And that program we call the Sparks program. And then we have second and third graders, which are bluebirds, and then just Campfire girls, fourth, fifth, and sixth, which are adventurers. The junior high Campfire girls are called Discovery girls and boys, and the Horizon Club is the senior high program.
And the inclusion of boys starts at the kindergarten,
it
at the Sparks
yes,
level.
Yes, it starts at the Sparks level. And I don't believe that locally we have any boys in our junior or senior high program. But again, in the larger cities and primarily in the inner city area, there are several groups that have both boys and girls in the program.
Now, you are a separate council from the one in Fargo, is it?
Not at this point. Even though we had separated back in 1942, about 1976, the United Way was having difficulty in spreading their dollars to go around, and they sort of forced a merger again. I have to say that the Fargo program at that time was declining. They were suffering some real budget problems. And we in Moorhead and Clay County, I guess, were very proud of our council because we had always operated in the black. And But anyway, for a variety of reasons, feeling that we did serve the same purpose and mm-hmm. we were funded, not entirely, but a good portion of our budget was supplied by the United Way, mm-hmm. That board of directors felt that we should be one organization and mm-hmm. could be a stronger organization. Mm-hmm. Because of the natural rivalry between the two cities, I believe that after several years, the United Way still felt that maybe they had made a mistake. Uh-huh. But at any point, there was a merger in 1976, and mm-hmm. it was called the Lake Agassiz Council at I this see. Point, rather than Clay County and Red River, as mm-hmm. they used to be. And we formed a new set of bylaws, and one of the negotiated points that we were able to work out at that time was that the council would locate its office in Moorhead. Mm-hmm. Now, that's not to say that at some future time down the line, wherever I guess the best place is for the office, it might mm-hmm. be moved. But mm-hmm. Up until this point, the office still does remain in Moorhead.
In Moorhead.
Mm-hmm. And in spite of the difference in population, Moorhead and Clay County do enjoy the largest percentage of people involved in the program, but the potential is there for much expansion. Mm-hmm. One of our problems always seems to be to raise enough finances, though, mm-hmm. to support where our dreams might be.
Thank you, yes. Uh-huh.
We currently have about 850 people involved in the program, about 650 girls and mm-hmm. boys, mm-hmm. and 200 adults. Serve either on the board of directors mm-hmm. or as program volunteers.
Now, did I understand you to say there are no boys in this particular council? Am I
on the junior high or junior or senior high program level?
Yeah.
Yes, we have many boys that are in the Sparks and the Bluebird
right.
level.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I forgot that.
I don't know the exact mm-hmm. numbers, but we do have several.
What would you say were your major purposes, Millie?
Well, I guess my first involvement when I was in college was because I was interested in young people. I was interested in the camping program, mm-hmm. the outdoor program. Mm-hmm. Those were my prime interests and mm-hmm. what I enjoyed most. When I became involved the second time around with my daughters, I have to say that I did not get involved in that point because my interests hadn't changed from being interested in the outdoors and this type of thing, but I was more interested in the junior high and senior high age level group rather mm-hmm. than the younger groups. Mm-hmm. But my girls were both interested and wanted to belong, and I felt a responsibility as a parent to mm-hmm. support their interests. Mm-hmm. And that was my prime reason for getting involved at that point. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoyed the fourth grade group once I got into that. Mm-hmm. Probably that was my most favorite age group mm-hmm. Until I got into the junior high and senior high level. And our oldest daughter received her Wohelo Medallion, went all the way through. Mm-hmm. And our second daughter, Mary, went through part of the high school or mm-hmm. Horizon Club mm-hmm. program.
As you see these sparks to horizons and so forth, what do you see the goals of those particular programs being, Millie?
Okay, I think the whole process, I guess, is an educational one. I think that you're able to see the children grow, develop their potential as human beings. Mm-hmm. I think it develops confidence in the children. I guess I'm still going to say girls, partly mm-hmm. because of my old habits of working with girls, and mm-hmm. also in that I had two girls in the program, and my son was not ever interested in scouts or mm-hmm. any of those youth programs, uh-huh. and so consequently I didn't work with him in that same light. Mm-hmm. But I believe that the children develop a lot of confidence. Mm-hmm. They learn how to work with other people. I think this is important mm-hmm. at a very young age. They're mm-hmm. in this group of 4, 5, 6, 8, mm-hmm. 10 different mm-hmm. people. They have to learn how to give and take.
What do they do?
Well, they can pretty well decide what they want to do. Mm-hmm. But because of that many people or different people in a group, there mm-hmm. are varied interests at mm-hmm. that point. And so they get quite a variety of activities. Mm-hmm. When they're about in the fifth grade, they start their beading and craft areas, mm-hmm. and I think they develop dexterity in their hands because mm-hmm. they're working with small beads. Mm-hmm. They have several projects that they work for. When they're younger, they play a lot of games. It's a mm-hmm. fun time for mm-hmm. them. Mm-hmm. Campfire Inc. really does stress having fun in mm-hmm. their groups, mm-hmm. and they learn to cooperate. Mm-hmm. They learn that they have to work together. They set up a small organization of nominating and electing a president for their group and mm-hmm. a secretary, and mm-hmm. of course at the second grade level or something, that's very minimal, mm-hmm. but they learn how to do these things. Mm-hmm. And then as they grow older, they might have individual projects that they work on apart from their group situation. Mm-hmm. They learn about the community in which they live. Mm-hmm. They take tours, field trips, such as through the post office, through mm-hmm. different restaurants. Sometimes the restaurant will give them a free hamburger or something. Mm-hmm. They'll go through the Coke plant and learn about different sanitary conditions there. They might mm-hmm. go through a laundry and mm-hmm. Learn about different things in the community. They probably visit City Hall to see how the city government works mm-hmm. and work again within their schools. And most of the time they meet in homes, but sometimes they meet in churches. Mm-hmm. And so then their behavior might be a little bit differently than mm-hmm. if they're working outside. Mm-hmm. We have a camping program, both a day camp and a week camp situation. So as they get older, they can stay on overnights. Mm-hmm. They start maybe with just one overnight in their group, or they might stay on a weekend.
Is this all year long? Or
this could be all year long. Winter camping has become very popular, and that's a relatively new program.
Where do they go?
They go out to our camp, which at this point is Camp Trowbridge. Mm-hmm. A few years ago back, the Red River Council in Fargo had Camp Trowbridge, which mm-hmm. they had purchased early on. Mm-hmm. The Moorhead and Clay County Council had Camp Shondossi. Oh, yes. And we had burned the mortgage on that, but 2 years ago, we felt that, again, we didn't have the finances to continue to have both camps or to mm-hmm. operate both camps. Mm-hmm. And so we did sell Camp Shondossi, which was a smaller camp and mm-hmm. very confined. Mm-hmm. It was kind of a sad day for some of us.
Sure.
But mm-hmm. Camp Trowbridge is much larger, and really we can expand our horizons much more in that camp. That's in the Virgis area. It's about 10 miles further east from our Camp Shondossi, which mm-hmm. was just west of Detroit Lakes.
Oh, I see.
And this camp has a lot of wooded areas, mm-hmm. and so the older girls can sort of be apart from themselves, mm-hmm. by themselves if they wish.
But they, in the winter, they do cross-country
yes.
skiing?
Yes, well, they do cross-country skiing. They also do some tenting. They learn how to bury themselves in the snow and protect mm-hmm. themselves. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Jim Illingson from our school district has mm-hmm. been instrumental in teaching many of our youth how mm-hmm. to camp in the winter time and protect themselves under these adverse conditions. Uh-huh. But the children really seem to enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And
now, those are for the older kids? Or?
Well, I'm not sure just when they start, but mm-hmm. I think any time from like fourth grade and on, mm-hmm. they're eligible to go on these groups. And mm-hmm. it gets to be more of a depending on the group, whether mm-hmm. they're interested mm-hmm. and probably the willingness of their leader mm-hmm. to go. She doesn't necessarily have to go on the mm-hmm. trip, but even to organize something mm-hmm. like this with Mr. Ellingson and some of the mm-hmm. other volunteers mm. who have been active in winter camping. Well, they've also used Johnson Park, which is a park just north of Moorhead, for mm. some winter to learn winter camping skills before mm. they actually go out to uh-huh. a camp like Trowbridge, mm. which is about 50 miles away.
And it's Trowbridge where they go for like a week at a time in the
yes,
summer?
Yes, we operate the camp for about 6 weeks during the summer for mm. our own children, mm. and then we continue to rent out the camp mm. to other groups, too. Concordia College has mm. held some of their language camps oh, yes. at mm-hmm. Trowbridge mm-hmm. when they haven't had enough room within their own camps. Mm-hmm.
Now, do the children pay to go to these things, and is that a restricted kind
okay,
of
okay, the campfire people pay, the children pay a dues of $4 up to this point, and that's a general dues a year. 5% of that goes to support the national organization. Then we do have program fees in addition to the basic membership fee, and those program fees are not for every program, but for selected programs. Now, if they would go for a weekend at camp, there would be a program fee involved there. There probably would be some other fees, basic fees to cover certain expenses, if they hired a bus, for instance, to go out to camp or this type of thing to cover food costs, but also a program fee to help pay the expenses of the volunteer to who goes along with them, because they do have to be supervised by a qualified volunteer. But there are some programs also that are available free of charge, and so it's usually the larger, more expensive programs that a program fee is charged for.
I just wondered if there were, do you attract children who come from low-income families?
Yes, we have several service organizations in the community that sponsor primarily, I guess, at camp and weekly camp. They donate, some different organizations call themselves different things that they donate for, but to help take care of some of these costs for the children. And if there's if there are not any of those funds available and the child feels that they cannot pay, I guess we'd always could find some way of helping them out. We have never denied membership to anyone because they weren't able to pay any of the fees involved. And I think the fees are very, very minimal. Maybe that is part of a problem, why we are always struggling. So because of maybe not charging enough realistically to support our program. But
the funding then is from the dues and from the support from the United Way.
Yes, and then we also
sell candy.
Yes,
you?
We have several sales during the year, several promotions. We have a an adult membership drive also for people from the community, an opportunity to help out our organization, people who have been interested in years past and just believe in this type of a youth organization and are willing to contribute dollars toward the support of that. I would say we get about a third of our funding from the United Way and the rest we raise ourselves. A very small part of it, again, is membership, but the membership does help us in our sales promotions. And the biggest promotion that we're probably known for is the candy sale, which we hold in the fall. And the girls go out and sell door to door, usually three or four kinds of candy or nuts, and earn not only money for the general operation of the council, but they are also able to retain a proportion, an amount for their own little group organization, and also their selves individually, which they can apply to going to resident camp if they wish to do that during the summer. Another sales promotion that we've held, not for the overall public, but just for the campfire families internally, have been a magazine sale. And that has met with a fair amount of success. This year we sold a prairie, what we called Prairie Crunch. It was sort of a special promotion along with our birthday month. This year, Campfire celebrated their 75th anniversary. And so we've done some special things, I guess, along with our birthday year. And one of them was the selling of Prairie Crunch. And
what's that?
Well, I'm not sure that I know all that was in it, but it has sunflower seeds and sort of basic seeds and nuts, and it was a very big seller. And
kind of granola-ish?
Yes, a bit of that. It's it's very dry, and you sort of eat it as a snack, but it's a very nutritious snack. And now we're still planning some extra celebrations for our 75th year. The 8th of June of this year, we'll be going out to Camp Trowbridge and have a special recognition for different people that have been particularly active in Campfire. And also several of the service clubs and fraternals and United Way people that have supported us in years past, as well as special donations this year. Mm-hmm. And so we also do get a fair amount of support from our different service clubs in the area and mm-hmm. fraternal organizations. Mm-hmm. The Eagles in particular have mm-hmm. been a very strong supporter of our program mm-hmm. in years when our candy sale, for primarily because of bad weather, I guess, mm-hmm. if it hasn't been a huge success, which mm-hmm. can happen here in the fall, mm-hmm. late fall, have been willing to purchase several cases of candy mm. to help us out so that we haven't had to return it and bear mm. that transportation cost. Right. Uh-huh. And several of the other clubs have been able to do that too. Mm. They've also been willing to support us through donations at camp with providing capital monies for us. Mm-hmm. The new bathhouse has just been completed this year mm-hmm. and several cabins. Last year we had some good cabins over at Camp Shawandasee mm-hmm. and the owners of the property, when they bought our camp, were willing to donate us these good cabins that mm-hmm. could be moved mm-hmm. and we were able to get some help in moving those cabins over to Camp Trowbridge. Mm-hmm. And this type of thing. Mm-hmm. Dick Kwame has been another person in our community that has donated a lot of time and mm-hmm. and skill to mm-hmm. our program. Mm-hmm. When we were still at Camp Shawandasee, he built a recreation hall for mm-hmm. us and mm-hmm. At a very minimal cost. And,
so you've had a lot of cooperation from the community.
Yes, we really have. Mm-hmm. I don't think that we're quite as well known as we'd like to be mm-hmm. as an organization, at least that's my feeling, mm-hmm. but the people that have been involved have certainly been dedicated people, mm-hmm. and I guess we need to probably get out from within our little shell mm-hmm. though and become more widespread, but we do have a good support too in the community.
Well, do you recruit girls or and boys or through
yes,
schools or churches?
Yes, primarily through schools. We mm-hmm. have a part-time office staff person that organizes different groups in the various elementary schools. That's usually how we get started. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the girls that continue and boys that continue in the program continue, I think, primarily because their interest has been retained through a good, strong leadership mm-hmm. and parental guidance and mm-hmm. support from home. Mm-hmm. If a group has started and they lose the adult support along the way, whether it's from within their own home or their neighbor's home or whatever, whoever the leader happens to be, I think the membership tends to fall off. Mm-hmm. For boys, I think maybe the interest change within their individual selves as mm-hmm. they get older, and mm-hmm. so that's more of a reason for their dropping out. But mm-hmm. I think for the girls that drop out, it's more of the support level, the adult support level mm-hmm. that causes them to change. But another thing, with our society, we have so many choices mm-hmm. and so many opportunities mm-hmm. these days mm-hmm. that they're, I think the girls are spread a little bit thinner now mm-hmm. than they were when the Campfire organization started. Mm-hmm. I still think it's a very viable organization, and I think it serves a strong purpose. Mm-hmm. What I do see it serving is that it gives children a chance to learn about themselves and mm-hmm. to grow and make themselves stronger. Mm-hmm. It gives them an opportunity to participate in an organization rather than some girls are very shy, some boys are very shy. Mm-hmm. They probably wouldn't get into an organization unless they had a little extra push
yeah. mm-hmm.
and maybe prevents them from getting into trouble or being mm-hmm. led astray as mm-hmm. they get older. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm a very strong believer in preventive medicine,
oh,
and
indeed.
I think that some of these youth organizations mm-hmm. serve that purpose.
Getting into your program again, Millie, don't some of your young people do volunteer work, for example, in the hospitals, and as a part of the Campfire
yes.
program?
Yes, they do. As they get older and are able to be into some of these situations, we do have a program where they go into the local hospitals and serve as candy stripers. Mm-hmm. My oldest daughter was in that program. I haven't been involved with that particular program the last few years, so mm-hmm. I really can't speak to the success of it at this point. Mm-hmm. But yes, they do that type of thing. Mm-hmm. They do other volunteer activities in the community too. They take a child care course mm-hmm. and they have to have so many hours of actual babysitting before mm-hmm. they receive a certificate of completion for that course. Mm-hmm. They learn about certain nursing skills from the hospitals. Mm-hmm. And
like CPR or something of that sort?
Yes, yeah, some of those mm-hmm. things, mm-hmm. right. And
Do they also learn homemaking skills?
They learn homemaking skills. Mm-hmm. That's primarily, though, I think, through the leadership and in their mm-hmm. own small group. They learn to cook and bake, mm-hmm. and then they learn mm-hmm. how to make campfires mm-hmm. outdoors. They learn mm-hmm. how to cook outdoors. Mm-hmm. Certain things they have to do to keep the campfires safe. Mm-hmm. And when they do winter camping, they usually take their own, carry their own water. Mm-hmm. And so there gets to be a lot of planning mm-hmm. into some of these activities.
Do they win a badge or a medal?
Yes, they have beads, and they have patches also.
Patches, okay.
But beads are the smaller tokens, I guess, mm-hmm. that they receive for mm-hmm. doing certain activities. Mm-hmm. And there are about 7 or 8 different areas in mm-hmm. which they could earn these.
Do they wear a uniform?
They do have, I guess it's a type of uniform. They're able, the uniform is a blue skirt, a white blouse, and a red tie mm-hmm. on up through the 6th grade. Mm-hmm. But this can be any white blouse, it can be any blue skirt, mm-hmm. and then they do get their red ties as a gift from the council when they fly up from Bluebirds into the adventure group.
I see.
Which is between the adventure group,
I see.
Which is between the 3rd and 4th grade.
Uh-huh.
The junior high girls and boys just wear their own everyday clothing, although for ceremonials, which takes place each spring, and that's when they receive the beads that they've mm-hmm. earned during the year and their patches, mm-hmm. At that point the older children have a brown, sort of like an Indian gown that they wear.
Oh, yes.
And the first year, of course, it's very plain. It's a long ankle-length gown, mm-hmm. and then the purpose is to decorate that with the beads that mm-hmm. they and patches that they there. Have earned during mm-hmm. the year. And by the time the girls and boys that have gone through the whole program, usually the highest award that they've earned is the Wohelo Medallion, and that would be in their senior year in high school. Mm-hmm. By the time they've gotten to this point, their beads are very colorful, mm-hmm. Because each bead in a different area is a different color, mm-hmm. and they have a lot of decorations, mm-hmm. and they're very, very beautiful gowns at mm-hmm. that point. Very heavy also by the time they have all these beads
sure.
on them. But sometimes the beads are all the way to the ankle length of their mm-hmm. gown.
Your oldest daughter, I imagine, had a highly decorated gown.
Yes, both of my daughters were in the program long enough so that they had many, many beads, uh-huh. boxes and boxes full of them when they did take them off when uh-huh. they were out of the program.
Now, it ends then for them at the senior year, after the senior year in high school.
It ends as far as that type of the program. And, of course, what we like to see then is that perhaps they'll have a carryover value and become a volunteer in the program mm-hmm. and become mm-hmm. an adult member and mm-hmm. and carry on. Mm-hmm. We do, in this area, because of having 2 colleges here, have several college, primarily girls. I don't know mm-hmm. if we have any boys that are college age that are mm-hmm. leaders. Mm-hmm. They certainly could be if they were interested, but mm-hmm. we do have several girls that mm-hmm. have been leaders or mm-hmm. helpers in the program. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of interesting to me. We had a birthday luncheon in March for our 75th anniversary again, which I've mentioned before. And at that luncheon, they had several of the scrapbooks out, and I saw a picture that I had not seen before, but it was a picture of one of the groups I had when I was in college when I was a leader.
That must have been fun to see.
And it was also interesting because Alice Oliver and Phyllis Thysel, who had been volunteers in the earlier program, were at this luncheon.
Uh-huh.
And Alice Oliver happened to have one of her daughters the same age as the girls that I had. And so uh-huh. she knew the girls that I had, and I didn't remember all of their names. I remembered a couple of the names. I had about 7 girls, mm-hmm. but she could name them all and tell me where they were uh-huh. living at this point and uh-huh. a little bit about what had happened to them over the years since I had left them. there weren't anyone living in this area.
Dorothy Remark used to be very active.
Yes, Dorothy was president of our council. Mm-hmm. I don't recall the years, but in the early 1970s.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
or maybe 68 to 70. It was in the time I served on the board of directors when she was president, and it was before I was president.
Now your board, what, sets local policy, and your national policy is set from national?
Yes, right? We have certain policies that we have to live within from national, and then our local board of directors sets our local policies.
What are those policies mostly about, Millie?
Oh, I guess about the how the council operates, and we have to make sure that the staff follows the national policies, and the board is responsible for fundraising. And 3 years ago, last January, I had come back on the board for my second term. When you're a board member, you're eligible to serve for 2 3-year terms, and then you must go off for at least 1 year before you come back on. But I had not been on since 1974 when I went off as president of the board, and and now I'm back on, and last January 1st I committed myself to a second 3-year term.
Have you noticed in those years, Millie, any kind of a change in policy direction, in the kinds of girls you're and boys you're attracting? Of course, the boys are new. That's
right.
That's different. And
I would say that the policies probably haven't changed. I think our purpose is still the same, although maybe we have some more definitely stated purposes at this point, such as the non-discrimination clauses, which have come about, I think, from federal rules and regulations in all areas. But I think our main purpose is still to serve the youth and to provide opportunities for them to grow and expand their own horizons. I don't see that purpose as having changed over the years. I think the organization has changed in that we now allow males as well as females to our organization. And I think some of the challenges have been greater, because one thing I've already mentioned is that there are so many opportunities now. We're such a mobile society that people move a lot. We're not as stable in the family area. That has been a big change that we've had to adapt to.
You've had more single-parent children, I suspect.
Yes, and more working mothers. And
which makes leadership harder.
It makes leadership hard. Sometimes it doesn't make a difference. Sometimes some of the busiest mothers are our most able and dedicated leaders.
Yes.
But there are a lot of people that are just not able to handle both a full-time job and raising a family and being involved in their children's activities as a strong support as well. So that has changed. I think some of the challenges on the local for the children have changed, like the drug scene, the alcohol scene, the smoking, this type of thing. There have been different challenges, but I'm not sure that I guess don't know if they're any more so of a challenge than some of the other challenges. I think as each generation changes or comes about, there are different challenges that in their own time might be just as great, but those are some of the challenges that we've had to deal with, particularly in the larger cities. Not to say that in our smaller communities we don't have those too, but I think in a smaller community it's a little bit easier to, when you know people, you the children have more knowledge of who to go for, go to for extra support. I don't think it's quite the same as some of the larger cities. And just living in a smaller community also, there aren't the challenges of the unsafe areas that there are in the metro communities. But I think that the organization has had to adapt to some of this type of change, but not in its basic purpose, I guess, I would think.
Very good. Well, I wonder if you have some other things that you would like to. We're following a bit of an outline here, but I think you have pretty well covered
Is there food part of the meeting?
Yes, they almost always have a treat at their meetings. I think that carries through. I don't know whether that's our Scandinavian heritage that has such a stress on food or not, but even in the small groups, they have one of the children usually in charge of a treat, and they bring a cupcake or candy bar or something to share with everyone.
You meet after school, the children do?
Yes, after school when they meet.
Once a week?
They usually meet once a week, and they don't have to meet once a week, but it seems that most of the girls like to get together.
Sure.
They look forward to that every Tuesday afternoon or whatever day it is, and they bring a treat. On the junior and senior high level, they meet only once a month, and then they usually have a dinner. And a hot dish, jello type thing, barbecues, this type of thing. And then each group meets and takes their turn at providing the food. So the junior high groups then are citywide, or like from both the Fargo-Moorhead area. And if there are 10 junior high groups, all 10 of them meet, perhaps usually in a church basement or a school cafeteria or someplace where they have cooking facilities and meet and have a program. Or sometimes they might have a dance where the kids would invite a friend or something, or have an open house type.
They have father-daughter, mother-daughter kinds of things?
Yes, that sometimes they have that. It could be either a potluck, or it could be a catered meeting, or it might even be where a group of mothers get together and cook for the father-daughter program, and they have a program. Sometimes it's just a sack lunch. Sometimes it's an outing at camp. Could run a variety of things. They aren't as structured as they used to be. Used to be that, you know, when they were in the adventure group, well, that was the year of the sweetheart parties, and every year on Valentine's Day they got together with their fathers for this special deal. The junior high had something else, the senior high had something else, but it's much less structured now. The older girls probably would go with maybe a roller skating program or, like I say, just a variety of activities.
Fine. Well, I think we've covered pretty much what Campfire Incorporated is about, and I really appreciate your coming and talking with me, Millie. If you think of anything else you'd like to include?
Well, I think we've covered most everything that I think needs to be covered, and I thank you for inviting me to participate in this. It's been very interesting, and I have enjoyed my work with Campfire and my involvement. I've gotten to know a lot of people, not only better from this area, but that people that have been involved on the regional and even the national level. And I think one thing, if you're ever a volunteer in a youth organization, there's something special about that person. They're friendly and really involved in youth and people. And I guess I'm interested in people, and I've enjoyed that relationship.
I forgot to ask you where your national headquarters are now.
In Kansas City.
In Kansas City, Missouri.
Kansas City, Kansas.
Kansas City, Kansas. Okay. All right. And, well, thanks again, Millie. It's been fun to talk with you.